Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Welcome to Best Interest of the Family Radio. I'm Dave Taylor, and always proud and happy to be joined by my good buddy, Larry Heron, the parent coach. Good evening, Larry.
Hey, good evening to you, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well. You know, I was just talking to my daughter, Rebecca, on, you know, otherwise goes by Becky with two I's, on the phone prior to the broadcast, and she's been working on a piano piece. You know, she takes piano, and she has been for like a couple of years, and she's doing unbelievably well. You know, I'm so proud of her because she just got, and I won't pretend to know how to pronounce the piece that she's doing because it's some kind of a French pronunciation, but she did it for me the last time I had her home, and she was supposed to take roughly 4 weeks to memorize this, and you realize that she just came back from piano for Tuesday night with her mom, and called me and told me that she had already memorized it in 1 week.
That's
so
amazing. That's pretty impressive.
I know that
we're
talking
impressive.
About a father's affirmation tonight, you know, with Ken, you know, and stuff. And but the thing is that, you know, I couldn't be more proud of my daughter. You know, part of being able to give that affirmation is having that contact time with our kids, of course, you know.
No,
but of course, you can do that over the phone. But you know, in person, it's you know, it's much more meaningful, you know, Larry. And you know, as Best Interest of the Family Radio, you know, some of the things that we stand for and some of the things that we fight for and the issues that we deal with, you know, all stem around that relationship, you know, that relationship with our kids and the relationship that our kids have with mom and with dad and how significant and how important those relationships are, you know, not just in the formative years, but going forward into adult years, right?
Yep, no question about it, Dave. You're bringing up great points that, you know, in order to have a relationship of that magnitude of what you're talking about, you got to have time and you got to spend that time. In elements of parenting, you got to be able to spend it in activities that leave a child feeling affirmed, that leave a child feeling like they're worth your time, and it's more than just an every other weekend's visitor status. It's real parenting in real time, and as we've said 100 times before, it requires an element of time to support a quality of parenting, and that's more than every other weekend. So. Good for you, Dave. I'm not surprised that she's thriving on the piano, and as I've watched, she's thriving in so many different ways. And if I haven't told you lately, Dave, you're a good dad. I'm proud of you. It's a pleasure to watch you two interact, and for DJ and I to be part of that interaction on so many occasions. We have a good time together.
And, we do.
The kids certainly love each other. I had some a great weekend with DJ too. Kind of the same thing. We were bringing Waylon into the vets to get a checkup, and in the middle of walking him through the parking lot, he just looked up at me matter-of-factly, and he said, "Dad, do you know that Miss Machida is teaching us a new song?" And I said, "No, buddy, what is it?" "It's the Star Spangled Banner?" I said, "My word, DJ, you're learning our national anthem." And then, of course, I had to explain to him what a national anthem was.
Yeah.
As we're bringing the dog into the vets, you know, we had some very meaningful conversation about that. And darn if before we sat there at the door, stood there, I should say, before we ever walked in the vets, we're just kind of standing there, the three of us, DJ, me, and the dog, and Waylon listened attentively. Well, actually, Waylon was pretty upset. He didn't want to be there. But he sang me every word to the Star Spangled Banner. And quite honestly, Dave, I couldn't remember. I was embarrassed, but I couldn't remember every word of the Star Spangled Banner. I knew most of it, but amazing. Amazing that they're just still, even at this age, they're sponges. They just absorb so much information. And they do indeed make us proud. They certainly do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you say they're sponges. I'll tell you what. I think every day these two kids, they absorb even more and more. They're amazing kids. And I'll tell you what, I sincerely hope that those that are downloading this broadcast or listening live tonight are able to have these moments with their children. you know, and I know that there are a number of people that do download this program, for example, that don't have significant contact time with their children. And I know that their children miss them terribly. And I know that they're missing a very significant part of their life, not having mom or dad or both in their lives, which happens on occasion, you know, through termination of parental rights and what have you. And I would hope that through broadcasts like Drift Radio and through efforts like those being taken forth by Dads and Moms of Michigan, for example, that through efforts of education and through court reform and reform of the systems that oversee these matters, that there will be some significant changes that will affect families going forward, you know, in ways that will allow for children not to have to miss their, you know, their mom or their dad. And with that said, I know that we've got a special guest on tonight that's actually a colleague of yours, Larry, and so, you know, I'll let you introduce Mr. Mazur.
Mr. Mazur, let me just say this, Dave. We've had a number of different guests on this show. I'm really, quite honestly, I'm excited and impressed with the number of different people that we've had come. Gosh, what's it been, a couple of years now? But I've never been any more excited than I am tonight, Dave, because Ken Mazur is both a colleague and a personal friend. I can't say enough about this guy. He has been just a true friend to me throughout this whole matter of parenting. Ken has stepped up, and together with our colleague Tony, who I know you and I have talked about, we were the three amigos there at Health Alliance Plan, and unfortunately, tragically, our friend lost his life. He lost his battle to pancreatic cancer here about a year ago now, and it's still both sadness, but sweet understanding that Tony has moved on, and he's never really gone away. And Ken and I continue to hold the fort down and to be good friends. But quite honestly, he's just been a real mentor. Ken is a great dad. He's got a great marriage. I'll tell you flat out, and he won't deny it, that what excites him as much as anything and more than most is being Frankie's granddad. Ken is now the proud grandpa of a grandson that he absolutely is doing backflips about. And at Ken's age and Ken's size, that's not a safe thing to be doing. But, you know, just the same, he's doing them. And I couldn't be more privileged and more honored to bring on my buddy, Ken Mazur.
Excellent. Well, welcome aboard, Ken. Welcome to Biff Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the program. I'm really looking forward to talking with you guys and the listeners that call in and that sort of thing. And it's really worth taking the time to see if you can be useful or helpful to anybody, especially parents, I guess, who have the big job of raising kids and, you know, bringing them along in this wild world.
And it sure seems like a bigger job every day, doesn't it, Ken?
Yeah, I think it is. My sons are 29 and 27, and now I got Frankie, who's 14 months. And I think that was one of the funnest things I did. One of my parts of my job was running men's groups. And in those men's groups, the men, you know, would constantly be asking me about stuff that happened between me and my sons. And there's an awful lot that did happen through the years. And, you know, I would reference, you know, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. And through the years, the feedback I would get from those guys is some of the real kinds of problems and things that would come up is what was most useful to them, because they developed some confidence. Well, this is what Ken did. This is how he handled that crazy situation. And so I was really pleased to be able to pass along some of that information, you know, as you get a little older and you see your kids growing up and you're seeing them move on in their own personal lives, which is really
Well, that's funny, Ken, because you say you call it passing on information, and those of us that know what that's really called call it wisdom.
Well, that's an old fashioned term. I like that term. You don't hear a lot about that, you know, today.
No, you don't. I don't think enough people are given credit for having that specific knowledge and history. And probably making some mistakes along the line, too, that they learned from, too, you know. So.
Yeah, well, those are entirely unavoidable. I guess that's how most people learn, probably, through doing
sure.
it one way and then saying, oh, cripe, you know, that fell apart. Better not do that again.
Have you ever done that, Ken, in parenting?
What, made mistakes?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I better not get my sons over here. They'll massacre me. Yeah, I made mistakes. I'll tell you a mistake I made, but I'll tell you the story around it that made it be okay. When Nathan was 8 years old, he was riding his bicycle, just like a normal 8-year-old kid, and he came home with that bicycle, and the chain fell off. And it was getting later in the afternoon. I was, after 5-6 o'clock, and I was coming home from work, and I did not have a good day at work. It was a bad day at work. So I get home, and he brings his bike, and he brings it to me. The chain fell off, and I did the wrong thing. I made a mistake. I yelled at him as if it was his fault that the chain fell off. I mean, he bumped into a curb, you know, just did a normal 8-year-old thing. So, yeah, that was a mistake. That was a bad mistake. But fortunately, I recognized it. And along the way, here's the interesting part of the story. You know, I told him that it was a mistake. I made a mistake in yelling at him about something that it made him feel bad, and it made him feel like he was wrong. It's the opposite of affirmation. I'm telling you, it's negation.
Sure.
That's what it was. Okay, to put some happy ending on the story, I got some help with remanaging my anger. And so I got some mentoring. Larry mentioned mentoring. God, is mentoring ever important? So important. So I got some mentoring and along the way. And one day I was going to my mentoring group, and I told my son, Nathan, yeah, I'm going, because I explained to him what it was, you know, a helper's group. They're helping me run my life better. And the most beautiful thing this 8-year-old child said to me, it sticks with me to this day. He smiled at me and he looked at me. He said, Daddy, I like your group. Tell me what he was saying. Tell me what he was saying. He was saying, Dad, you're getting better with your anger junk. You're getting better with managing your issues.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, you know, my little kid motivated me. You don't want to yell at your kids. I mean, we all do it here and there. But you want to get better, you know. You want to improve so that you interact with them and don't end up putting too much pressure on them.
Right.
But, yeah, that's a mistake. And you know, probably one a lot of listeners can relate to, screwing up, you know, missing the mark. I don't think it's that important if you make a mistake if you correct it.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you don't correct it, I think you can do your kids a lot of harm. I think if you screw up, which is likely, if you go back to your kid, and like I did with Nathan, and said, you know, Daddy screwed up. And I got to work on that, and I got to work on, you know, some anger stuff. But I did, and I'll tell you how happy it made me when he said, Daddy, I like your group. He was telling me, wow, Dad, you're learning, you're growing. Those people are good for you. And certainly they were.
Well, you're mentioning something, Ken, that I think is very important, and that's if you make a mistake in front of your kid, it's okay to say that you made a mistake.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's mandatory.
I mean, sometimes it takes a while to really get over your own pride and say, well, you know, I screwed up, and I, you know, but you get the opportunity to show your child that you can humble yourself enough to, you know, to tell them that you're not perfect. You know,
you model that to them, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and Ken, in fact, what you're saying too is that when you're able, or when we're able to kind of, I remember the first time I ever gave myself a time out in front of DJ, and he was about 2 years old, and he watched me give myself a time out. My gosh, he didn't know what to do. He just
well,
looked at me like I was from outer space. But it is affirmation for them, isn't it? Because here we are, the go-tos, the bigger than lives authority figures in their life, and we're saying, wait a minute, you know what? This isn't your fault. This is my fault. I missed the mark, and I'm sorry about that. And we're modeling to them that it's okay, as long as, like you're saying, Ken, that you correct it and you try to do better the next time. But we're really taking the heat off of them to feel like I got to be perfect. The fact of the matter is, none of us are perfect, and the bigger man is able to take a step up and say, look, this one's on me, buddy.
Well, this gives us an opportunity to dovetail into a part of the subject matter, because I know that, for example, one of the comments that Ken has made about some of the groups that he's held and some of the counseling that he's done as it pertains to, affirmation of a father is that, why is it that you hear men say that they don't feel good enough, Ken?
Well, this is just from experience in providing treatment to men who are seeking treatment. They're seeking to improve and change. Is probably higher than 90% relates to their dad. And before I, got involved in doing a lot of work with men, I would have been surprised by that. I would have thought it was all kinds of other stuff, all kinds of other people. But experience has kind of, led me to a new conclusion, a current conclusion, that their relationship with their dad is prominent. And the history with their dad, to put it in simple terms, is the affirmation versus the negation. Affirmation is a declaration that something is true. Affirmation is a confirmation that your judgment is valid. Affirmation is a pronouncement. It's a statement. It's a testimonial. And what it does is it inspires confidence in people. So you got a kid who just gets enough affirmation, they're going to make their way better than a kid that doesn't get it.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. Can you affirm a child too much?
Well, I made that mistake too. Speaking of mistakes. All right, another story. And I hope my sons are not listening to this because they're probably going to make fun of me. All right, so I'm doing all this men's therapy, and it's going well. And I'm enjoying it. I'm learning a lot from the men, and I'm providing them with some, morsels of guidance too. So in the process, my kids are getting to be teenagers and such, maybe a little bit younger than that. So I'm figuring this out that I better let Nathan and Daniel know that they're good enough. So I go on this campaign kind of to let them know they're good enough, and I think did some over affirmation. So to answer your question, Dave, yes, you can over affirm your kids. So for a little while there, I was telling them they were good enough. Finally, they go to their mother and they say, Ma, tell them to quit it. We know, my God, we know we're good enough. He's been telling us a million times. Tell them to stop it. He's getting on our nerves. I know
what
he teaches
problem.
All. I know he teaches all those guys. I know he's a therapist. I know he's a counselor. I think he's a good one. But God, tell him to quit it. We're good enough. We know it.
They didn't need any affirmation.
I hope I don't share too many mistakes, you know, so that people think, but get somebody on there that does a little better job.
Well, Ken, I can tell you that Larry and I make our share of mistakes, and we've been on here for almost 2 years, so I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, but let me
just say, I just want to interject something that that I've had the privilege to get to know Ken's family, and for all the mistakes
I'm grateful
he's
for
made,
them,
they, me too, buddy, me too. Because I got to tell you, they are absolutely wonderful and absolutely entertaining. They are a riot. Some of the best musical talents, and I mean that literally, they get paid for it, that you'll ever hear. And them boys love their dad. There's no question about it. But it is a very comical, hilarious dynamic to watch the entire family. They've all got their roles, and it truly is a family affair that I think anybody would enjoy being part of. It is just a real privilege to watch you continue to father your kids and to grandfather your grandchild now. And of course, I know your wife loves you as well. She's a great lady, but you were definitely doing something right with them boys, because they are young, strapping men today, and I've had opportunity to watch them come up from 10, 11 years old on into to where they are today, and they love their dad. You've been a go-to for them, and I know that, and I think you were doing everything right. You know, even in the mistakes that you made, you were doing it right.
Well, thanks, Larry. That's an important compliment, because my family means the world to me. One of my goals.
In all them talks at the airport that you gave them. Ken, tell us about the airport. Dave, this is hilarious. Ken Mazur's disciplining of his voice.
I don't know. They were bad, you know. These kids, I mean, in a sense, they acted up, you know, and their mom would say, you know, get them shaped up. And I mean, they made natural, normal young men mistakes, boys mistakes. And I don't know how that happened. One day I was mad at them. You know, they were acting up. I mean, one at a time usually. So I said, get in the car. And so, you know, he got in the car. Nathan got in the car. I said, I'm taking you to the airport. I think he might have got scared or something. I don't know what happened. But what it turned out to be was you know, we did go to the airport. And I got him out of the car, and I took him to the airport, and we walked around the airport, you know, Metro Airport. You know how big that is. And I read him the Riot Act, and I guided him, and I talked to him, and I told him how much I loved him and how much I wanted to see him have a future, you know, where he was happy. And some of the stuff he was doing was, you know, off course and screwy. And we would talk about that stuff. And I know both my sons to this day, they mention it with humor, because that's really a good thing to do. But they also mention it sometimes with gratitude. Dad, you set boundaries. Dad, you read us the Riot Act. Dad, you let us know that we're off base. And you did it kind of strong, kind of stern, kind of firm. But why I took them to the airport, I don't know.
There was more than one trip to the airport, wasn't there?
It just turned out to be a place, I think, where we could discuss matters. I mean, because it was just the two of us, and it was private, even though it was, you know, in a public environment, because we could talk, and we usually would get something to eat, and I would talk to them about what they, you know, where they messed up, and what I thought of it, and you know how I wanted them to behave, and how I wanted them to correct things, and make some improvements, and you know, educate them.
Well, you've got a first there, Ken. Ken Mazur's airport therapy.
Well, they laugh
airport
about
parenting.
It.
We've got love and logic.
Airport parenting, I like that.
We've got love and logic, total affirmation, now airport parenting.
Listen to this, you guys. Hey, listen to this. This is a true story. Listen to how much legacy fatherhood sends to the generation. Is a 14-month-old squealing or screeching about something. He wasn't getting his way. And his Uncle Dan says to him, "You better watch it. You better watch it, Frankie. Your dad's going to take you to the airport." So who knows what. I think every family, you know, for all the families listening out there, I think every family has their own culture, their own traditions. Where do they come from? I don't know. Every family's unique in God's eyes. And, you know, people come up with things like that. Different manners of discipline and balancing, you know, setting boundaries. And because when you use affirmation, because some affirmation went on at those airport things too, because there was support, there was encouragement, there was definitely challenging those kids to try, and most definitely there was some boundary setting and some introduction of balance. You know, having their dad provide love and protection, teaching them to, you know, stand up for themselves as they go along in this wild world, so people don't roll over them. So, you know, those things, that balance there. And I think affirmation comes primarily through a couple main things. We don't touch our kids enough. Loving touch might be the premier act of affirmation. And then consistent, abundant time. But unfortunately, in today's culture, I've met some parents, they're almost scared to touch their kids lovingly, to touch their face or touch their cheek or touch their hair or, you know, of course, put their arm around them and hug them. And some parents never learned how to do that from their parents. You know, some parents, people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, you know, they never got touched. They never got, in a loving, supportive way. So they don't know how to do it. You got to teach them how to do it. But in today's culture, I'm sorry to say, you know, there's a lack of touching. I mean, you hear on the news, of course, all the time, the wrong touching and the bad touching. And gosh knows our kids are getting, you know, educated and guided to protect themselves. And that's good. That's very important. But in the midst of all that, we're not touching our kids enough.
Absolutely. And Ken, tell us.
Interesting point. You know, we probably could have a whole show on that, you guys.
Absolutely. Ken, tell us a little bit more, too, when you're talking about a father's affirmation, a father's touch, for example, a father's way of discipline, a father's way of even loving their kids. It's not better or worse. It's essential, no question, but it's different than a mom's, isn't it? As you and I have discussed, it's needed and it's different. Can you talk a little bit more about what your experience of that has been?
Yeah. I'll put it in maybe three or four sections. Number one, culturally, females tend to be more easily sociable in using softer language. It's just the way it is, it seems to me. So what you have is you have fathers oftentimes never having learned to acknowledge their child. By acknowledge, I mean things like when your child comes into the room or something saying, hi, Nathan, how's it going? acknowledgement is 50% of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it all starts, acknowledging the child. It gets easier as they get older, believe it or not, and I'll tell you why. Because as the kids get older, you know what's going on in their life. You want to know. And there's more going on as they move along, so you get to know more of them. And that's the second part of it. You part of affirmation is knowing what the heck's going on in their life. Who are their friends? What sports are they playing? What classes are hard? What's bothering them about their looks? And this goes for both boys and girls. It really does. So then you get to the point where you acknowledge your child, and you get to the point where you know something about what's going on in their life. Mothers, hands down, know more about what's going on in kids' lives than fathers, and it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. I know that's a little controversial, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm challenging all fathers, learn what's going on in your kid's life as much as their mom. And you can learn from their mom, you know, what's going on in the child's life. So once you know what's going on in their life, then you express and show caring for what's going on. And that's usually done, you know, in two ways. It's done verbally, where you talk to them and let them know you know what's going on, and let them know you care what's going on, their ups and downs, their hurts and their worries and all that. But then in comes, you know, affirming them, affirming their efforts and their accomplishments and their plans. And that does include, again, some form of affection. And I suppose, and I don't have any girls, but I had sisters and grew up with a family of seven with, you know, boys and girls. And it's as important to be providing affection to the girls as it is the boys. So I'm equating affirmation here with affection. Because I'll tell you what kids feel. And the reason I know this is I've treated enough families where the kids tell me what they feel, and they want to have their parents give them affirmation, and that means inspire confidence. That's exactly what they want. Because what they tell you all the time is, listen to this. Now, they say it in their own words, but what they're saying is, my dad doesn't acknowledge me. He doesn't know what's going on in my life. He doesn't care. And he doesn't really show it. That's a problem. So if I could, you know, encourage fathers, it's pretty much what I've done through the years. Acknowledge your kid. Find out what's going on in their life. And that you do by asking them, of course. Tell them you care. Tell them you care about what's going on. And then show that affirmation by affirming the child's efforts, accomplishments, and plans. And I liked what Dave said, you know, at the start of this program. He said about his daughter, his beautiful daughter, couldn't be more proud of you. Perfect. And it was sincere. That little girl has a gold mine in her daddy.
No question. Because quite honestly, Ken, as we know as clinicians, that it's those daughters that we don't see in therapy as they grow up, because they know how to negotiate a relationship and they know how to gravitate towards a man that's going to affirm them, that's going to be consistently there for them, and that's the only kind of man they're going to gravitate to, the only kind of man they're going to be interested in, because it's what they know. But a man who's emotionally unattainable, who's maybe not affirming his daughter, who's not giving her what she needs in the platelets that get then set to the what a man is. What, you know, a man is their dad is the very first. In fact, I've told this to Dave 100 times that, hey, he's the very first opposite sex that she's going to fall in love with. So he plays a very powerful role in what she recognizes a man, you know, is supposed to look like and the man that she spends the rest of her life with or that she's attracted to. And to be that man that takes care of his daughter, that loves his daughter, that makes her feel confident and makes her feel special and worth his time, that's what she's going to gravitate to versus the man that she's constantly chasing for that affection, for that affirmation, and then grows up to be chasing some man who's just totally unattainable.
Well, you know, I'm constantly telling Rebecca that the guy she finally falls in love with has got some tall order to fill.
Well, good. Good. Set the bar high. It's
absolutely
good.
Brother. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've actually been talking to Rebecca for the longest time, probably since she's, you know, 4 years old. She's nearly 10 years old now. You know, about what a, you know, I tell her, I said, well, believe it or not, you know, one day you're actually going to start liking boys instead of, you know, wanting to, you know, beat them up in the playground. But, you know, aside of that, you know, someday you're actually going to like boys. And I said, now, here's the ways, and I instruct her, I said, here's ways that boys are supposed to treat you. They're not supposed to treat you like this. They're supposed to treat you with respect. But you know what? Respect goes both ways. You know, so I've been instructing for quite some time, and every once in a while, Ken and Larry, and I think Larry knows this, every once in a while I take her out on a date, and we get dressed up. Doesn't happen very often, so it's a special thing. And we get dressed up, and I hold the door open for her, and I show her. I say, this is what a gentleman does, you know. And
wonderful.
You know, so I try to set an example for her to say, well, you know, you know, you can, you know, oh, here's something you'll think's funny, though, is that I say, now, what if a boy pulls up in his car, okay, he's got a really nice car, so he pulls up in the car, screeches the wheels a little bit, and he honks the horn, like, you know, wondering if you're ready to go out on a date. And her response is, because I've kind of trained her this way, I said, what's your response? She says, Dad, I just tell him to go jump off a cliff. That's my girl, you know, because again, it comes back down to respect, doesn't it, Ken? You know, and we have to show our children what respect is. We have to teach them what it is, you know, and we have to model it for them, you know, too. So
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, if you watch kids and what they want to learn from their dads, it's kind of interesting as they go along. You know, here's something that's interesting too. The father for his boys, that boy wants to have his dad teach him how to interact with guys,
mm-hmm.
how to treat girls, and how to model treatment of his future wife. You were already getting at that, Dave,
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
your description of, you know, modeling and teaching your daughter. What kind of guy do you want? Do you want a jerk? Or do you want a fine man who really loves you and respects you? And the answer is obvious. You're teaching her. Tell that jerk to go jump off a cliff. But and
better they learn early.
And for but listen to this, for the girls, listen to what they want to learn from their dads. They want to learn how to interact with guys. Girls hunger for that from their dads. They really go to their dads. They want to know. They want to know how they should interact with guys. And you're teaching your daughter how to interact with guys. You know, if he honks the horn, you know, you got to end up talking with him and say, look, there's a better way to do it, you know, like park the car and come up and escort the girl, you know. that sort of thing. So yeah, we're back to what affirmation from a dad causes in kids. And I'm convinced that many, many dads, and we all try to do the best we can. You know, you don't want to be critical of dads. Everybody's trying to do the best they can. But to some extent, many don't understand their power. They don't understand to what extent they're affecting their child. Because if they do, they would behave differently because they love their kids. But here it is. Affirmations from dads cause stability inside the kid. And they cause faith within the self of the kid that they can do something. That's it. And so kids who get more of that proper affirmation from their dads are more successful. They can deal with the world better. They can deal with disappointment better. They can deal with pressure better. They can deal with ending up, what do they do after they've gotten into a fight, better. They can do a lot of things better because I believe what happens in affirmation is children borrow from the strength of their parents' ego. I think that's what happens.
Sure.
So better parents, parents who are more skilled, parents who've learned to deliver the goods of parenting better, end up forming their kids better. And so our job is never ending, you know, encouraging parents, keep at it. You know, one of the tasks of parents, among, you know, about probably 10 or 15 of them, is to affirm our children. I you could have a whole program, expanding the value of affirmation and almost challenging parents. You know, are you affirming your kids appropriately? Because I know parents love their kids. I know it. We all do.
But can you?
We missed the boat. A lot of us missed the boat there. A lot of us missed the boat. And in the process of that, we don't know the damage we're providing to our kids. And you know why that? Why I know that? Because I've talked with, I would say, probably hundreds of men who they ain't got it yet. They're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Some of them in their 50s, up into the 60s. They don't have it. They're striving, spinning their wheels, getting the affirmation from a dad who's not pleasable. So dad missed the boat there. You know, that part of fathering that kid, he missed it. So we got to try to educate dads as best we can. Because once they understand what kind of power they have with influencing their child's sense of personal value, oh my gosh, they'll be more careful. I'm telling you, I'm convinced of it. Because I've seen it. I've seen and I've helped men shift their gears about how they're treating their children.
Sure.
But it was because now they understand better. They still screw up, just like I did. But they understand better that what they say to their kids. I mean, here's a real common sort of thing. How many of us parents have said to our kid along the way when we're angry, "You idiot. Boy, oh boy, try to hold that back. You might think it, you might feel it inside, but don't say it. Find some other way." Because
Let me add one more thing to that, Ken. For those out there that are separated from their mom, from the child's mother or the child's father, is never, ever, ever say, "You remind me of your mother" when you do that. Okay, never do it, folks. It's not going to gain you any strength with that situation, nor is it going to bode well for the child. So Just don't even
great
go there. If you feel it, don't go there. Just
that's a very excellent point. We have to learn to restrain ourselves sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, from what we're thinking or what we're feeling, and don't say it because
yep.
it's destructive, it's damaging, and some of it's unretractable. That's the problem.
Well, it's self, you know, indulging. You know, it's something that that you shouldn't be doing it. And if somebody gets in the habit of doing it, I'm going to encourage every listener, if you're in the habit of doing something, get out of the habit. You know, you've got to affirm the other parent too. You know, with your child, you've got to speak highly of the mother or the father or whoever's the co-parent. It will pay off in dividends with your child when your child realizes. And I know Larry can speak about this, a whole other show too, to talk about the aspect of affirming the other parent and how much good that does for your child, knowing that even though you're in separate households and you may be divorced or never married or what have you, and the child probably knows that you have differences with the other parent, because Lord only knows that, you know, many times there is high conflict involved. If you can say something nice about the other parent, is the child does so much better.
Well, you know, Dave, you're bringing up excellent points. And Ken, as you and I have discussed on 1,000 different occasions, it really is, because kids need both. There's no question. And they are going to tend to gravitate to what's easy, to what's simplest to understand, and where they're getting what they need in a relationship. And quite honestly, Dave, as again, you and I have spoke about too, that when you're dissing that other co-parent, when you're dissing your child's other parent, that's not easy. And that's not anything that your kids are going to digest very easily, and nor do they want to, nor should they have to. So you really got to understand that whatever they were to you, I mean, they could be a complete parasite as a spouse, but as a parent, your children need a positive, functional, at least functional relationship with each parent. So the last thing you want to be is a speed bump in that process. If the other parent is going to self-destruct in the relationship and there's nothing you can do about that, then there's nothing you can do about it. But don't you aid that process. Don't you be a speed bump to that child figuring out a way to at least have a functional relationship with them at some point in time.
Boy,
that's just good parenting.
Absolutely.
Point.
Well, I'll tell you what, believe it or not, we've eaten up over, three-quarters of our time. But there's a couple of quick things I want to get in, Ken, with you before the end of our broadcast. And we are definitely going to head back to talk about this and broaden on this subject matter. And I like your idea of, talking more broadly to parents about whether they are affirming with their children, and maybe give them some pointers, you know, give them some tools to go back and be able to affirm their kids with. You know, I mean, you've got some great personal examples, but I think that, you know, at some broadcast we could come back and talk about some specifics, you know. But I want to ask you, you're a grandfather now. You said you have a 14-month-old grandson. Is that what it is? The way he is?
Yeah, Frankie.
Now,
Frankie,
yeah,
Figueroa. Frankie. Sounds like he's right out of the mafia.
The Sopranos. But hey, is extended family affirmation something important? You know, like a grandfather's affirmation.
Well, sometimes it's necessary, because, you know, extended family functions as surrogates. I think clinically, it's never as good as
mm-hmm.
the parent.
Okay. But
sometimes you don't have access to never as good as the parent. Sometimes the parent is gone. Sometimes the parent died prematurely. Sometimes the parent is separated from the child, you know, for lots of different reasons. Prison,
mm-hmm.
abuse, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, you have to have surrogate interveners that can provide approximate affirmation. So that's a very good point, because in our world today, there's a lot of that that's factual. You know, you got a lot of people in those shoes. We all know people in those shoes. It's not like it's rare, where you got a kid who needs affirmation, and they get it from their uncle, or they get it from an older cousin, or they get it from grandpa. I use the term, it approximates the value of the parent. And it's really the best you can do. Like, here's another analogy. I think generally speaking, you know, two-parent families where the mom and dad are married to each other and they got kids is probably the most effective affirmation system available to us. But in the real world, how many families have access to that? You know, it's probably 40%, maybe less. So in the real world, we have to get second best. We have to say second best is what we have access to, and then you go for it. You get the extended family members who's ever. Here's an example. I mean, I'm an extended member of Larry's family. I love him. I love his boy. I love his mom. And we were out to a show a while ago, and Devin was with me, I don't know, for 15 or 20 minutes. And he was showing me this stuff and at this music show. Yeah, I was an extended family providing education, affirmation, support. So yeah, we really need to access the best that are second best. I know people don't like to hear those kinds of concepts because they're kind of hard, because everybody wants the best for their kid. Well, sometimes the best for your kid is what they have access to.
Sure.
And if they don't have access to the best, then you give them the next best. But I really like that you're bringing up that point, because I think that reflects the reality of the world. You know, the reality of the current national crisis of family.
Absolutely, it does. I mean, this is probably most of our listeners, you know, or certainly all of them that download it have had some, it's had some effect on them, either directly or indirectly. You know, we've got a number of grandparents. We even have some folks within the court system that download our program, you know, so that's encouraging, knowing that they're listening and trying to get a broader understanding of the issues that are affecting us.
I'm so glad you guys are working so hard with legislation. That is so important, you know, to get the wisdom of people in prominent positions, powerful positions, really, of decision-making regarding family policy, judges and court officials and lawyers. Gosh, that's important work that I know both you guys have your heart into that. And I think you're going to make progress, because the world is hungry for it. The society, you know, is looking for some leadership, because everybody knows the family's disintegrating and falling apart. It's obvious. But people want to do some reconstruction. And you guys are at the forefront of that kind of stuff. Like this issue of parental alienation. Get a show on parental alienation, you guys.
Oh, we've had
it's real. It's real. It's bad. And it's ruining our kids.
Now you start
to hear the emotional side of my voice coming out, because as a family therapist, I deal with the downside of that. I get the kids who are coming in whose parents are criticizing each other to death. in front of those children. We need to, the judges need to say, knock it off, baby, knock it off. You're killing your kid.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ken, I don't know if there's a show that goes by that we don't bring up parental alienation.
Good. Bring up another one.
Go ahead.
Because that's going to have to involve the courts, because some of the knuckleheads who are doing the parental alienation, they do need a strong arm, folks. Because if you educate them kindly and nicely, you still pull that crap.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, that's not one to apologize for, Ken. Because, you know, you and I know you don't take kindly to that, because destroying a parent's role in their child's life is an assault. It really is an assault. And
need legislation.
And we need legislation to treat it as an assault. To
prosecute
treat it as the
it.
Offense that it is. Yep.
Prosecute it.
Absolutely.
Start getting it into a level of prosecution. We're prosecuting you for parental alienation activity and movement.
Yep.
That's
what you're doing.
Go ahead.
Well, what I hear you saying, Ken, is a level of true accountability, you know, for these type of actions.
Yes. Pressure.
Pressure and
education.
Yeah, and let's face it, these things are going to continue to be acted out, this parental alienation and some of these other poor activities that one or both of the parents may be, you know, contributing to one degree or another. I mean, I'm not going to advocate for, you know, perhaps throwing someone in, you know, in jail unless it's absolutely severe. But at the very least, some accountability measures, you know, to say, well, you know what, if this is the way you're going to act, well, this trip around, it might cost you $1,000. You know, so maybe that'll make
bucks.
You think.
Yeah, $1,000 or time with your kid. Parenting time, boys. Parenting time.
Yeah.
You have a, that's a consequence. The decrease
sure.
in parenting time where you send the message, you got to stop that or you're going to lose access to parenting time with your child because you're hurting your child.
Right. Yep.
And this isn't anything new, but we're so lax on that. My gosh, people can get away with that way too easy, you guys.
No yep. question about
well,
it.
Well,
I see it at the restaurant. My wife and I were at the restaurant, and we were just at the table across from us. We could hear there were three children in that booth and one male father.
Mm.
And he was absolutely terrible. I had to restrain my wife from going over there and knocking him one, because he was talking about their mother like she was dirt.
Oh, no.
These are young kids. These are kids that were 7 and 8 and 10. And see, that guy needs to have some pressure, and he needs education. That if you can't do that, that's bad for your kid. It's bad for everybody. If you don't stop it, yeah, there's consequences. Yeah, there's accountability. In fact, you're not going to take your kids to breakfast next week, buddy.
Right. Until you can learn how to treat them with respect and consideration.
Well, and that's the other side of it too, Larry, is, and I think that it's one thing to say there's a deficiency here, and it's another to say, you know what, you know, it's just like we were talking with Ken before the show started. I mean, you know, Ken used to work with, alcohol and drug dependent, you know, folks to a greater degree. And so, you know, you put them in a program, you know, put these parents in a program. And I'm
Absolutely.
Not talking about something that's just going to, you know, it's going to be, you know, the swing door kind of thing. You go in one side and you come back out because you did your 2 hours. No, I'm talking about something where you give parents tools. If there's a deficiency, I don't care what the parental deficiency is, and we're not providing that right now. We're not, as a state or as a county or as a resource for parents, aside of Dads and Moms of Michigan is working on some programs right now to provide for, these type of programs for parents. There needs, to, you know, you're right, Ken. There needs to be an accountability measure, but there also needs to be a way of saying, to point out to that father who was doing that in that restaurant, to say, you know what, buddy, there's a program that can help you understand what you're doing and help you do better as a parent to your kids.
And we're going to compel you to participate.
Yeah.
Because if I said anything to that dad, and I didn't.
Oh, yeah, right.
I wanted to, but I didn't. You know, you create a scene, he's not going to listen.
Sure.
Anyway, he's going to say, mind your own business.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, in an indirect way, you know, your kids are my business, you know, to see. They're going to be in my office in 8 years, mister.
Sure.
You know, so I'm coming from that avenue, from that angle, as a therapist who's provided support and education and sometimes court intervention, too, through my recommendations.
Sure.
You know? You know, that's a hard thing to do, guys, to make a recommendation about changing parent time with youngsters. It's a very difficult thing for a therapist to do. It has to be done, but it's a very difficult deed.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, especially, obviously, with the experience and the personal passion that you have, you know, for these issues, you know, in addition to, the passion that you have for your own family. It's pretty apparent that you're very keyed in to family issues. This is a gift for you. That's very obvious.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Making my little 2 cents, you know, to the big bad world. Yeah,
no question that Ken Mazur is a true man of integrity that loves family and the whole concept of family. He's spent years researching it. Very well read guy, very articulate guy. And Ken, we just really, really appreciate you being here with us tonight. You, as I knew you would, have brought just a great deal of value to our programming and education to our audience. And it's just a real privilege to work with you and to call you my friend. And really appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks for inviting me, and I wish you guys, you know, well on your shows to get the word out, get the education out, especially your legislative efforts with some of the folks that you have contact with, you know, in the courts, the judges, the lawyers, and the legislators to make this a better, you know, city and county and state where families can flourish. And learn how to be happy families. Learn how to help each other along. Gosh, that's important. But I admire the work that you guys are doing. I know it takes time. I know it takes time and effort, money, and to get some of these things accomplished. So I got to let you guys go. Thanks again for thinking of me and having me be part of your forum.
Oh, it's a delight to have you, Ken. We're definitely going to have to schedule you to come back here in the near future to talk about this subject matter a little further, all right?
All right. Well, thanks very much. I'll see you guys soon.
All right. Good night, Ken.
Night, Ken.
Bye, Larry.
Well, Larry, as you told me, Ken is an absolute first-class guy.
Yep. No question. I knew that he... I've been trying to get him to do this for quite a long time. Dave, I didn't say this in front of him, but I would. He's actually a little bit shy until he gets going. I've been trying for months to get him on the show, and I can't get him to write comments on that blog either or to do any blogging. But I got to tell you, half my blogs are generated from conversations and discussions I'm having with Ken. He's my cube mate at work, you know, right next door, and he just he's got a lot to say. He's got just as you've experienced, just a great deal of wisdom and knowledge and experience. But he's actually a little bit shy to really do that. But once he gets going, as you can tell, he's got a great skill level and just a great passion for kids and for families. And, you know, he brought up an interesting point. You might, realize that you heard him say it more than once, that family, you know, that for your family, for this family, for that family, even though you might be divorced, even though you might be never married, when you are sharing a child together, you're still a family. Even if you get divorced, that's still your family, and you need to really try to figure that out. That, look, may not like them, they may be disrespectful, they may be very, very difficult to work with, but the same way that, you know, another part of extended family that you may choose just not to interact with, or a sibling that you haven't talked to in years, doesn't discount the fact that, look, you had a baby together, you had children together. This is your family. Figure it out. Figure out a way to make it function for the sake of your kids.
Sure.
And we really need to do that. We need to continue to keep that in mind.
Yeah, we and in keeping it in mind, we're here. I'd like to say we're here every Tuesday, but we skip a Tuesday now and again. That's because we need to spend time with our own families. So, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, those that download our program, we're very appreciative of the fact that you find value in this broadcasting, and on behalf of Biff Radio, on behalf of Larry Heron and myself, we just want to say thank you. And if you have any in particular comments or questions, we just ask that you contact us and let us know what those are. We're happy to work with you on future broadcasting, and if you have any ideas, just let us know. At the very least, continue to love your kids every opportunity you get when you're with them. Give them that special affirmation that only a mom or a dad can provide, that special ingredient that only a mom or a dad has that you can contribute to your the special balance that your child needs, or your children, for that matter, so that they won't end up in Ken or Larry's office when they're adults, because we've got a real responsibility as parents to make sure that we are providing those special ingredients, providing those special advice, spending the time, sitting down with a board game, with your kids, taking them to the airport and having that special conversation with them like Ken did. Be creative. Be what you got to be. Be the parent. Because nobody else is going to be, You only got one mom, and you only got one dad, and you only get one chance at being a parent, because they grow up all too fast. Here at Biff Radio, we will see you next Tuesday.